I'd like to start our time together this morning to talk to you a little bit about pride. And in doing so, I would like to share with you some thoughts on pride from some people who are far wiser than me. Advice columnist Ann Landers writes, "Don't accept your dog's admiration as conclusive evidence that you are wonderful." Perhaps on a more serious note, C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity, "A proud man is always looking down on things and people." And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. The great theologian Augustine wrote in his works, The City of God, "Pride is a perverted imitation of God. For pride hates a fellowship of equality under God and seeks to impose its own dominion on fellow men in the place of God's rule." More recent thought, theological thought on pride from a feminist and liberation theologians, they note that pride as a sin takes its form among the powerful. For the weak and oppressed, sin is a withdrawing from God and neighbor, assuming that we have nothing to offer. Anne Carr, in her book Transforming Grace, writes, "Sin is the breaking of relationship, both with God and with human beings, that can take the form of weakness as well as pride in its denial of human responsibility." I think pride is one of the principal sins that we see in the Pharisees, or that Jesus points out in the Pharisees in our passage this morning. Pride, the way that C.S. Lewis perhaps described it. The Pharisees are too busy telling everyone else how to behave that they fail to see the damage caused by their own inaction. They fail to look up and remember God. It's interesting to note that Jesus commends the people to do as the Pharisees say. But not to do as they do. In other words, what they are saying is not wrong. Just do not hold up the Pharisees and their actions as an example of model behavior. Jesus is asking us to be mindful of our place, to know who we are. And this is evident from the get-go when Jesus references the seat of Moses that the Pharisees are sitting on. I think in our passage this morning, it translated it slightly differently. It rendered it a little differently. This morning, Jesus says, "They are the teachers of the law, and the Pharisees are the authorized interpreters of Moses' law." They literally sat on Moses' seat, the greatest prophet in the Israelite tradition, in the Jewish faith. These are powerful men, very powerful men. And we're reminded of that by that seat and that position which they occupy. They're not people to be trifled with. Jesus describes the garments that the Pharisees are wearing. He talks about how they have big pieces of scripture on their forearms and on their forehead, indicating their prominence. How they wear long and flowing gowns. They seem to love the sound of their own voice. And they need to be greeted with respect and be called rabbi or teacher. Jesus is making it clear that these individuals make a great show of going through the motions, all so that they can be seen to be so wonderful. And here's the rub. And some of you, maybe not all of you, maybe none of you, but some of you might be thinking something along these lines right now. aren't you one to call the kettle black, Reverend? And you'd be right. I have that fancy title of Reverend. It's right there on the bulletin. It's on the back, in case you forget. And I wear these wonderful robes, and these wonderful stoles, flowing garments. But I am no better than you. Despite the honorific of Reverend and these robes, I am no better than you. I think it's easy with a passage like this today to give ourselves that old pat on the back and say we're doing A-okay. Or worse, to say that we're doing everything right. And perhaps there are preachers today from their own position of power who are chastising the congregation or who are chastising other churches. And friends, I'm no better than you. This morning, we celebrated Vienna's baptism. I received that same baptism by water in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. That same baptism that all of you received. I am no better than Vienna. She is my equal. At 5 months old, she is my equal. Before God, we are the same. We are sister and brother in Christ. All of us together are brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, this passage is not about placing and assigning blame or guilt. I mean, to be sure, Jesus is doing that. Jesus is pointing a finger at the Pharisees and saying to them, I see what you are doing, and it is wrong. But friends, it is not our job to put ourselves in the place of Jesus and to do likewise. Not today. Today, it is our job to take a look at this passage and imagine Jesus speaking to us. It is too easy to preach this passage and accuse everyone else of being hypocrites, of being wrong. In fact, to do so would make me the hypocrite. As a preacher, I am all too aware of the danger inherent in the phrase, do as I say, not as I do. My credibility and ability to be your pastor hangs on me not living that way. The reputation of the church depends on us not living that way. And of course, the problem really does not limit itself to the church, does it? Politics and celebrity also suffer from trying to keep a spotless public image while the skeletons keep piling up in the closet. And I think our public broadcaster is dealing with that this week, isn't it? Our passage today reminds me to walk humbly with the Lord. To keep thoughts of my own greatness in check with the reality of who I am and who God has called me to be. To understand myself as God sees me. So that I am ready to receive Jesus. So that I am ready to follow His teachings. Henri Nouwen was born in Holland, and he was a Catholic priest. He was a great scholar. He taught at Yale Divinity School. He could have written his own ticket, taught anywhere, gone anywhere, you name it. And if you want to read good pastoral theology, pick his books up. They're easy reads. But the ticket that he wrote for himself in 1985 was to join the Larch community. Eventually, he settled at their Daybreak facility, which is located just north of Toronto. And he spent the last 11 years of his life living with individuals with developmental disabilities. He died 11 years after joining the Larch community, and he's buried in Richmond Hill, Ontario. His life exemplified the final verses in our reading today. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Friends, our passage today, it addresses two types of people, or two types of leaders. The first is the Pharisees, who quoted the law, but really they didn't live it out. They were more concerned with making life difficult for the average person and enjoying the position of privilege and power which they occupied. And then there's Jesus. Jesus who calls the Pharisees out on their behavior. Jesus who ate with the common people, who walked with them, shared in their pain and in their joy. Jesus who denounced the Pharisees from the humble position of walking towards the cross. Friends, Jesus does not fit into the category of do as I say, not as I do. Jesus is the message which is both do as I say and do as I do. Jesus walked humbly towards the cross, and God the Father exalted him above all things. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. We need to remember that before any of us needed to pick up our own cross, Jesus has already done it for us. Jesus doesn't let someone else go forward for us. Jesus goes forward on our behalf. Jesus goes forward on our behalf so that we don't have to. So friends, as you walk with the Lord, walk humbly and know that God will lift you up. Amen.